Exodus 37, and let's read from verse number 1 on down to verse, we'll see. All right, Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Jacob being the father of Joseph. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And then it continues on, and we'll be looking at Joseph the dreamer and Joseph and his dreams. And he dreamed yet another dream in verse 9 and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me," and told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's bow forward to pray and ask for God to bless the message today. We ask you, Lord, that you'd meet with us in a great way and speak to our hearts, Lord. We see, Lord, how you were working in the life of Joseph as a young man. You were directing his life, Lord. You were pointing him in the direction that you had for him to go. I'm thankful that Joseph took up that mantle, if you will, and that he followed your call and that he listened, Lord. And Lord, you used his life in a great and a mighty way. Please bless the message today. May you speak to our hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give you a brief review and get to the lesson today. Joseph is a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament, and Joseph's life was directed by the Lord. You see his family relationship with Joseph's mother, Rachel, and then you have Leah, her sister, which was also Jacob's wife, and then the two handmaidens. So there's four women, and you have the 12 sons and the one daughter, and it was not the family dynamic that God chose for them, in the sense that it was not God's plan for Jacob to marry and have children with all the different wives, but that's how the house was for them. There was hatred, there was jealousy, and Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel, and she had a desire of God that God would bless her with a son. After God had opened up the womb of Leah, her sister, with numerous sons, and then both of the handmaidens that God had given children to Jacob by them as well. And then finally, God blessed Rachel with Joseph. And as you can see, he was loved by Rachel, and he was loved by Jacob because he was son of his old age. And then later on, you have Benjamin. So you see this family dynamic, and the Bible says that Joseph was watching the sheep, and he was there with his brethren, and he brought them an evil report. The Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other children, and he made him a special coat of many colors. He set him up for others to see, "This is my favorite son. I want everyone to know that he is loved." Now, every child should be loved by their parent, but it should not be more than another. And so we see that God was working in the life of Joseph. And as Joseph was there and he brought the evil report, he was loved even more by his father. And naturally, because of those things, he was hated by his brothers. For one reason, because Joseph did what was right and they were doing what was wrong. And they hated him for that. They hated him because he did right, they were doing wrong, because he was loved more by his father. And he brought him the evil report. He was hated and hated even yet the more. It came a time where the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. In a dream that God gave him a dream and a vision of what was going to come in his life. And Joseph dreamed this dream and brought it before his brothers and said, "I want to share you this dream that God gave to me in the first dream was that in verse number 7, that they were binding sheaves in the field. And he said, my sheaf arose and it stood upright, and your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And he is a picture that mine is going to stand up and all of you are going to bow down and worship me. And they hated him even yet the more. But then God gave him another dream. It was the sun, moon, and the stars that they bowed down and they gave obeisance and worshiped him as well. Not only did his brothers rebuke him, but his father also rebuked him for this dream. And his brothers, isn't hating someone enough, but then to hate him even more and to hate him even more than that. And they envied him. They were jealous. There was a lot of friction in this family. But God was using the life of Joseph, a 17-year-old young man. Never discount what God can do with a child. Right? You know, did they really know what they said when they got saved? God knows. You know, a child that says, I'm going to give my life to God. You know, we'll see about that. No, God can use a child just as much as any adult. And God spoke to this young man's life, and he was really a young man at the time, and showed him how God was going to use him in a great way. In the coming chapters, we won't turn there, but in Genesis 39, it says four different times that God was with Joseph. And what a great testimony in Joseph's life. And through a series of events, Joseph might have thought, God is not with me anymore. But God was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery, when he was lied about, when he was thrown into the pit, thrown into the prison. But God was with Joseph in his life. What a great testimony that God was with Joseph. And again, God was with Joseph because Joseph was walking with God. Joseph made the choice, I want to walk with God and spend time with God and follow him. And that's why God was with him and God made him to prosper. Joseph and his dreams. Let me give you a recap from last week's lesson and get into this week's so we don't have part three. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream. This dream was a prophetic vision from the Lord. God specifically showed him something that was going to come in his life. Have you ever had those deja vu moments, you know, and something happens, you go, wait, did this just happen before? And but God was giving him a dream, prophetic vision of something in the future. It didn't exactly say when, where, and how, but that someday he would stand up and his brothers would bow down and worship him. Well, we know the end of the story, all right? We've read to Genesis chapter number 50, and we saw all that God did, and the brothers would come to Egypt, and they would bow down and worship Joseph, and they would ask food of him to keep them alive. So the vision that God gave to Joseph, we know is a dream that came, first of all, from the Lord. Joseph's dream came from the Lord. Now, you can have your own dreams, right? You have a dream. Someday, I'm going to get this car. I've told a few people my dad, about a month ago, got his dream car. His dream car, all right? My dad turned 70 2 months ago, and his dream car was his first car, a Chevelle, all right? And how many, you like old cars, all right? All right, hey, there we go. And I'm preferential to the Chevrolet cars, all right? American made. And so none of the Ford stuff. My wife likes the Ford. But my dad's the Chevelle. He's wanted a Chevelle forever. And he wanted one just like the one he first had. And I forget what year it was. We were talking about it yesterday with Jeff. 68, 69. I'm not that big of a car guy to know all of the years. And the fender and the lights this year. I don't know all that, okay? But he got this car. And it was his dream car. And I was telling him, I talked to my dad. It only takes about 30 seconds of a conversation to get to the car. You know what I'm talking about? And man, he loves it. He's working on it, taking it to car shows and all that. But it was his dream, you know? But you can have a dream of your dream car or house or spouse or whatever it may be that God would give to you. You better be careful to make sure that dream comes from the Lord and not from your own heart. Because we can dream up things and plan something that can even come to pass. And it may not even be a bad thing, but is that a dream that God gave to you, that fits within God's will and plan for your life? Or is it something that you're just making upon your own that's getting you away from the Lord? Better be careful about that, that Joseph's dream, it came from the Lord. Again, it wasn't just a dream of a nightmare or even a good dream that he had at night. This was a dream that God gave to him, that God said, I want to use your life, Joseph. But Joseph still had to follow God's plan for his life. He showed him the dream again of the stalks of corn, the sheaves that would stand up, the sun, moon, and the stars. And it was a couple thoughts here that God wants you to know and to do his will. See, God has showed you in his word that all that God wants for you and from you to do, to obey, and we need to follow God's word because this is God's plan, dream, or vision for each and every person's life, that you would know and do God's will for your life, and it's found right here in the word of God. It's right here. God doesn't want to hide his will from you. He doesn't want to hide it from you. He wants you to know and to do his will and God's plan for your life. God has a plan for your life, but so does Satan. The devil has a plan for your life as well to get you off course. Now remember this, God's plan for your life, it's not just for the young people. It's not just for our college-age students, you know, that have much of their life ahead of them, Lord willing. This is for all of us today, that I want to do God's will for the remainder of my life, however, whatever amount of time that may be. God wants for you to know when to do his will. Number two, God will never contradict the Bible. When God gives a plan for your life, he will never go against the word of God. Well, see, God's plan for my life is to do this. If there's a Bible principle or verse that says contrary, that is not God's will and plan. That came from your heart and your flesh or from Satan. We better be careful. That's why prayer is so important. God, help and direct my steps because I don't want to step outside of your will. Show me in your word, Bible counsel, prayer that helps. Number three, God will always draw you to be more holy, not less holy. Many times we think, well, God told me to do this. No. If it's not drawing you closer to God and closer to him in holiness, that's not God's plan for your life. Well, God's plan, you know, is for me to get out of church. No, that is not God's plan for your life, right? God said, it should be more holy. Many times people say, well, you know, God didn't convict me of that. And it's always to skirt out of the rules somehow from what God gave you. No, God's will and plan from the Word of God is for everyone. That was point number one. Point number two, Joseph told others about his dream. Look at verse number 5 and 6 in this passage. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He could have kept it to himself. God didn't say, go and tell everyone. He didn't say, go tell your brothers, as we see in Scripture at least. It didn't say that. He dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. And again, they hated him yet the more. He dreamed and he told it to them. And in verse number 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. He said, I want to tell somebody. Again, you ever get that exciting news and you have to go tell somebody? You have to tell someone. It's so exciting, I can't keep it to myself. And Joseph couldn't help it, and he had to tell someone about it, told it to his brothers. And then verse number 9, even though they hated him the first time even more, verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren. And then it says in verse number 10, and he told it to his father. He said, I've got to tell people what God is doing in my heart and in my life. You know that when God speaks to your heart, and God is working and God is directing your life, maybe it's a decision that you make for the Lord, maybe it's for salvation, you need to tell others that you're saved. Amen? God is working in your heart through your Bible reading, that God is directing your life and God's will and plan for your life. Tell others about it. Too many times we want to keep it to ourselves and hide it. I don't want anyone to know the decision that I made for God. Why not? Are you embarrassed about what God is doing in your life? Are you ashamed that God would direct? No, tell other people about it. He told his dream to others. He shared what God was doing in his heart. He did not want to keep it to himself. Share what God is doing in your life. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let your light so shine before men that we should share our faith and what God is doing in our hearts with others. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want you to think about this. What does most of your conversation entail? Most of the conversation you share with your spouse, with your children, your coworkers, let me ask you this. Does it have anything to do with God? Or is it all about the politics, the entertainment, the sports, the weather, your health? Those things may not be bad. But if it's never talking about God, what you've read in your Bible, how wonderful it is to be saved, to be blessed, well, we're missing an opportunity to share what God is doing in your heart and to share that with others. You say, but he shared it with others and they hated him for it. That was their response and their choice. I believe Joseph did right by telling others, this is what God wants to do with my life. Many times we keep it to ourselves because we think, well, if I don't tell anyone about it, then I don't have to do it. Right? Share what God is doing in your heart. Christians need to speak up and not be quiet. We are so much in this generation and this society taught that Christians need to be quiet. Don't share your faith. Don't talk about God. Don't share your conservative values. Everyone else can do that, but not you. That's wrong. Share what God is doing in your heart. As much as people want to silence the Christians, I'm thankful for those that are Christians that speak up about their faith. Now, the media doesn't want to share that. That doesn't make mainstream news, but they speak of their faith and share that with others. You know what? People should hear you say, praise the Lord. People should hear you say, God is good, that God blessed me. Let me share what God did in my heart. You ever maybe go to work on Monday and people say, well, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went to church. Many times the response is, oh, really? Or why would you do that? And the response could be a vast difference of, oh, that's great, to why would you do that? What a waste of your time. Share what God is doing in your heart. People need to hear that God is blessing in your life and that God is answering prayers and that you want to do something for God. You think, well, I don't know. I don't know if they want to hear that. They need to hear it. Now, again, it doesn't mean you need to jump on the coffee table or the break room and just preach to everyone, but share what God is doing in your heart. We need real Christians that are going to speak up about God and influence the generation of the people around you. People need to hear that God is good. People need to hear that God loves and wants to save them and that God has a plan, not just for your life, but God has a plan for their life as well. So this is what God is doing in my heart and life, but God can do that for you as well. I want to share with you what God is doing in me, but also what God can do in your life as well. Lost people need to hear about what God is doing in your life, but also other Christians need to hear what God is doing in your life. Too many people spend all their time, let me help you with this, all right, kindly. Too many times we spend our time complaining. All right? The weather, the pollen, the politics, my knee, you know, my elbow. And, you know, we so naturally can get turned to all the negative things. How are you doing? All right? Oh, not the best, but I'm going to make it. You know what? God is good. And you know what? You may not feel like it, but think of a positive answer that points people to the Lord. Other Christians need to be encouraged. We don't need to drag them down all the time with the negativity. Yes, we can all find something to be negative about, right? But let's put our focus on God and what God is doing in your life and brag on the Lord. Share what God is doing in your life. Encouragement. People around you need to be encouraged. I'm praying for you. God is good. Let me share what God is doing in my life. Encourage others. You share what God is doing in your heart, it can be a challenge to others as well. A challenge. Now, be careful that you don't share what God is doing in your life to brag. You know the difference, right? Is it bragging on you or is it bragging on God? Make sure it's bragging on God, not on you. All right, you know, God is good. Let me tell you what God did in my life. I don't know about you, but when others share what God is doing in their life, I think, man, have I been witnessing as much as I should? And if they're seeing souls saved, maybe I'm missing something when I'm witnessing or when I'm praying or God's speaking to my heart. It challenges my faith to hear that God is working in your life. Don't be jealous when someone shares what God is doing in their heart. Be thankful that God blesses them. Amen? You know, hey, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. Don't compare, all right? Comparison will kill you, all right? But also, sharing what God does in your life with others helps people to pray. Sometimes we can be so secretive in our lives about what God is doing, what's happening in your life. You need to be careful that you don't need to spill the beans about everything to everyone. But share what God is doing in your heart so people can pray for you. Prayer is an incredible tool. Make sure you say, would you pray with me about this decision that I made to do something for God? And so people can pray for you. Joseph, first of all, his dreams came from the Lord. Number two, Joseph told others about his dream. Number three, Joseph was rebuked for his dreams. We read those enough, but he was rebuked by his brothers and now by his father. Now remember this, the favorite son, special coat, loved more than any other one of the children. And now all of a sudden, Joseph hit the note in Jacob's life. Maybe because Jacob is thinking, why is not God speaking to me, but he's speaking to you? He was rebuked for his dreams. You know what? He shared what God was doing in his heart, and others didn't look on it favorably. He could have said, you know what? Forget this living for God stuff. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not living for God, praying, spending time with God anymore, because if this is what living for God does, I'm done with it. You know, and if you could ever have an excuse to get out of the will of God in your life, Satan will give you that excuse, right? If you have that moment of, well, if this happens, I'm done. You know, many, many people will never go to church because of what somebody said or didn't say to them and what someone did or didn't do. A Christian, someone that was supposed to love them, care for them, they were supposed to be a better Christian than they should have been. You know what? I could have that excuse today. How about you? You're going to live for God and someone says, what are you doing that for? You're going where? You're wasting your money doing what? You tithe? You go to church? You dress like what? And they rebuke you. And you think, well, I could take the rebuke from the world. But what about from other Christians? What about when it's family? What about when it's others that they should be living for God and they rebuke you for having a dream and a vision from God to do something from the Lord? You know, don't be surprised when family, friends, and other Christians are jealous or maybe even despise you for God working in your life. Think about this. Jesus Christ, he came to his own and his own received him not. He was even rejected by his own family for the most part. I'm going to church. People say, why would you go there? What a waste of your time. What a waste of your money. Joseph's rebuked for his dreams. Don't let anyone stop you from living for God. Don't let anyone stop you from living for God. You know, you're all excited about your news to share with someone and they go, well, what about this? And they want to, you know, the people that always want to one-up your story. No matter what your story is, they've always got one better. You caught this many fish, they caught more fish, right? Whatever it may be, they've always got one better. Don't let anyone stop you from living for God. Remember David, he comes to the Valley of Elah to bring food for his brothers, and there's Goliath, and he's taunting the people of God and their God, and David says, is there not a cause? He was rebuked by his brothers. He was looked down upon by the king. He was chastised by Goliath. But either way, he still went and did God's plan and took out Goliath. He did what God had for him. Don't let others discourage you. Too many times, I don't mean this wrong, but too many times we do what we do because of what others around us do or don't do. Well, if they live for God, I'll live for God. Well, it's great if someone else lives for God as well. That's an encouragement. But what if they don't? Will you still go on for God? Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And when everyone else was eating the food, Daniel said, I'm not doing it. I made a promise before God. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up for God as well. If everyone else bows down, what are you going to do? What if they rebuke you? Joseph was rebuked for his dreams, but he didn't let it stop him from continuing to live for God. Fourth and lastly today is this: Joseph was known as the dreamer. We're going to skip into a little bit of the next lesson. Joseph would go and bring food to his brothers as they were watching the sheep in Shechem, and they went over to Dothan, and we'll look at that more in the coming weeks. But in regards to this of Joseph being a dreamer, in verse number 18, when Joseph came to bring the food to his brothers, it says this: and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now he has a title, you know, a title, the dreamer. Now they looked at that as a negative. Here comes the dreamer. Can you imagine? They're not children, but they're brothers. You know this, brothers are always brothers, all right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'll still race you. I'll still beat you, you know? We'll arm wrestle. You're like, how old are you now? It's just built into guys, okay? It's just built in there. But sometimes we can be kind of ruthless and you the name calling, you know? And so the name that was given to Joseph was a dreamer. Now, I would assume they used this name other times as well, but they say to each other, here comes the dreamer, thinking of it as a negative. But in God's eyes, it was a positive. People may look at you and say, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. Thank you. You looked at that as a negative title, but I look at that as a wonderful title. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord for that. They meant it again as a negative, but it was a special title, a gift, if you will, that God gave to Joseph, these dreams. Titles the world looks down on today. Think about that. The negative things the world says about a husband or wife. Negative things the world looks down upon as a Christian, as a godly man or a woman. And oh, you're that kind of person. Yes, I am. With the right spirit, proudly, gladly. I'm not ashamed to be a man. That's how God made me, and I'm thankful for it. A Christian, a husband, a father, those are wonderful titles that God gave to me, and I'm not going to let anyone say anything to look down upon a title that God has given to me, a gift from the Lord. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver or gold. If God has blessed you in your life with a title of something that is godly and right, that the world may look down upon and despise, but that God looks at that as a gift, and he says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Again, Joseph's brothers, I think, were jealous, thinking, well, why is God not using me? Why is God not speaking to my heart? Well, because of their, whatever the evil report was, how they weren't following the Lord, but God chose to use one that was doing right. Never be ashamed of the Lord or living a life for Him. Never be ashamed of living for God and what God is doing in your life. You know, the world is never going to praise you for doing things that are godly and holy and right in your life. They'll praise all the wickedness out there, won't they? Man, they'll lift it up, praise them, and that's frontline newspaper articles. But for that young person trying to live a pure life, they're not promoting that. Trying to live holy and separated, go home and take care of your family, provide for your own. Again, trying to do what's right, living for God, giving your life to the Lord. The world's not going to praise that, but God will. A dreamer. They said, oh, here comes the dreamer. Maybe he heard it, maybe he didn't. You know what? You know the saying, old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, you know? Joseph, you know, maybe he heard it, and I bet it hurt. But these are my brothers. They're supposed to love me. And he was doing right. It never shows that Joseph had any ill will or bad intentions towards his brothers. Now, or even in the end of the book of Genesis, the end of the, never any hatred or animosity turned back the other way. Well, you treated me this way, well, I get to treat you that way as well. Never did. Never did. He said, this is a gift that God gave to me, God's plan for my life. Again, whether you're a college age, middle age, upper age, whatever it is, if God is speaking to your heart and wants to use your life, that is a gift from the Lord. That's a privilege. That's a title. That's something great that comes from God. Take that and use what God has given to you. God has called you. God has spoken to your heart. God has a plan for your life. Gladly and proudly follow the Lord with God's plan for your life. Don't let anyone discourage you to get out of the way. If Joseph got out of the way right here at 17 years old, he would have missed what God had for the rest of his life and how God was going to use his life in a great way. An unexpected journey that God was leading Joseph on, but what an incredible journey. Why? Because God was with him. He was with him each and every step of the way because Joseph made a decision that he wanted to walk with the Lord.